Amen. Isn't that great, everybody? So just a little bit about Impact Nations and Glow International. Both of those are outreach missions ministries that are led by people from this church, people that are part of your spiritual family. And so Tim Stewart, he's the director for Impact Nations, and they're the ones that went to Puerto Rico and did the ministry there. And there's some more ministry opportunities coming up in January. They're going to different places. They're going to, like they said in the video, they're going to Philippines and different places. And then Maria Malgarejo, she leads Glow International. And so they're going to Honduras and also in January. So if you're interested in going on a missions trip, just let us know at the information center. Just sign in and say, I want more information on this. You can actually go to the Facebook page of both of those, Impact Nations or Glow International, and you can get more information. But here's the thing, is that God has called us to be the church. Right. Amen? Amen. Not just go to church, but be the church. Right. And the church is always and always has been, always will be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. And so I think it's a great opportunity for us to be able to do that and partner with somebody from here, from our own spiritual family, to go and do those things. Yeah. Amen, everybody? Amen. All right. Well, listen, we are about to finish up. Today is the last installment of the series, Almost. If you guys enjoyed the series, Almost, you enjoyed that? Yeah, we have one more. I was, this past week, I was having a text conversation with one of your fellow church members, and you guys know texting is a conversation, right? Parents, just letting you know, parents, they're talking. But anyway, I won't tell you who the person was, but their initials are Jake Duell. And so I was texting with him, and he was actually in California, and he was texting me about a book that I recommended a few months ago by a pastor named Mark Batterson. Mark pastors a church in New York, and he wrote this book called The Circle Maker, and it's about prayer. And so I recommended that book a few months ago, and so they're reading the book, and so he sends me a text, and he says, Pastor, from the book Circle Maker, this is what Mark Batterson says is his job description. He says, basically, his job description is twofold. He says, number one, he says, a pastor, it's my job to comfort the afflicted. Yeah. That's a good job description. Don't you guys think it's a good job description for a pastor? To comfort the afflicted? Yes? Okay, good. And then he said, the other part of my job is to afflict the comfortable. Ay, chihuahua. So I asked Jake in the text, I said, so how am I doing? And he says, well, sometimes I feel like I'm way too comfortable, so afflict away. You know, I was thinking about this series and just how it can be so easy to just settle in and just say, well, at least I'm not back then. At least I'm not struggling with that sin like I used to struggle, or I'm not having troubles with that relationship like I used to have, or, you know, I'm not that, that's not happening, we're not fighting about this, whatever, just fill in the blank. And if we're not careful, we kind of just settle in. Yeah. Many, many years ago, one of my mentors, one of my pastors, Pastor Rob Winkler, I was talking to him. I was living in Midland, Texas, and working for the newspaper there, and I was talking to him about how I just felt like God had done some great things in my life, and this is what I said to him: I'm in a good place right now. And he said, "That's great, Jar." That's what he calls me, Jar. He said, "That's great, Jar." Here's the thing: is stay on the edge of that seat. Don't sit back. What a great visual, isn't it? Is that sometimes we can, in our walk with God, we can just sit back and just kind of just get in our comfy chair and just go, okay, I'm good. Can I just tell you something, everybody? We're not good. We need to keep moving forward. And so that's why we're doing this series, Almost, because almost is not enough. We need to keep moving forward. And so I've been talking to you about all these different topics of where we believe, where I see Scripture talking about where we settle for almost and we miss out. We miss out on what God has for us, God's best life for us. And we also find ourselves fighting the same battles over and over, dealing with the same things over and over. And can I just tell you, that's not God's plan for us. Isn't that right, everybody? He said that he came so we might have life and have it to the full. In fact, Paul says that we are called to be not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. And so today, depending on where you are, you're either going to feel comforted or you're going to feel afflicted. Because today we're going to talk about holiness. We're going to talk about what that means to be a holy people. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, that your word is life and your word is applicable to us today. So God, I'm asking you, Lord, to help us. Help me, Lord, to be more like your son. Speak to us, God. Teach us, Lord, where we need to be taught. Lead us where we need to be led. And we will say yes. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you have a Bible with you this morning, I'm going to be in two places. I'm going to be in Psalm 24 and then also in 1 Peter chapter 1. How many of you bring a Bible like this? Let me see it. You guys bring a Bible like this? Yeah, old school. I love it. I love preaching from the Word of God like this. I don't have anything against electronics. In fact, I love technology. But I love teaching from the Word of God. It just does something for me. I'm going to be in those two places. If you didn't bring a Bible, the scriptures will be up on screen. If you brought an electronic device, you can open the Bible app and then look for live events, and you'll find Family Church there. And it's almost part five is what you'll find under. So this past couple of weeks have been an interesting couple of weeks in my Uber car. It just seems, if you're new to Family Church, I do part-time. I drive for Uber and Lyft. I do both of them. And I do it for two reasons. There is an income that comes from that. I don't do it for free. But I get opportunity to meet people and to talk to people. And I love being around people and hearing their stories. And so anyway, this past, couple of weeks or so has been kind of like an international week. I've had people in my car from all over the globe, and it's just been amazing, talking to people, seeing where they are. And so this past week, one of the riders in my car was a 24-year-old student at UNM. And I can't remember his name now, but I do remember that he was from Kuwait. And so he gets in the car, and he sits in the front seat. And I'm okay with that. As long as they bathe, I'm good. So anyway, he sits in my front seat, and the moment that he gets in my car, he looks at me and he says, and I'm not going to do the accent, but he looks at me and he says, "Good morning, Father." I was like, "Do I have my collar on? What's up?" And I just look at him and he goes, "How are you this morning, Father?" And he sees this puzzled look on my face and he says, "I want you to know," he says, I'm Muslim. And he said, "In our religion," he said, "I'm 24, and you, sir," he goes, "you are a gentle old man." And he said, "it's disrespectful for me to call you brother." He said, "it's disrespectful. So to me, to us, gentle old men are fathers." And so we're driving and we're talking, and when he's addressing me, he'll say, "Father this and father that." In fact, we stopped at a convenience store because he needed to get something. And he goes, "Can I get you something, Father?" And I said, "No, I'm good." And so he goes inside and I'm like, "That's pretty interesting." And so then he gets back in the car and he says, "Are you a religious person?" And I said, "Yes, I am. I'm a religious person." I said, I'm a Christian." He goes, "Oh, that's great." He says in his accent, he says, "I believe in Mr. Jesus. I believe in Mr. Abraham. I believe in Mr. Jacob." He sees that look on my face again, and he goes, "In my religion, we don't say just the person's name. We say Mr. before because it shows a lack of honor." And I said, "Well, that's awesome." And so we talked a little bit more, you know, when I dropped him off, I said, "Bless you." And he says, "Well, bless you too." And he says, "Mr. Jesus, bless you. Mr. Mary, bless you." So I'm like, "Okay, I receive that." So, you know, it's interesting because those words are descriptors. They're descriptors of what you think and feel of the person that's in front of you. And when you look in the Bible, you see all these descriptors of our God, don't you? Our Bible says, your Bible says that our God is an almighty God. Now, unless you just, you know, are looking just for, you know, something to fill in your time, you don't see the mightiness of God because he's just not operating on your time. But when you see him and know him and honor and respect him for who he is, You understand that Almighty God is not just a name tag, but it's a descriptor of who you believe he is. Are you with me? Your Bible says that he is a forgiving God. Can I hear an amen for our forgiving God? Your Bible says that our God is a kind God. Isn't that right? Paul says that it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. Yeah. Your Bible says that our God is a generous God. Right? So where do you see that? For God so loved the world that he gave. Our God is a generous God. So when you go through the Bible, you find all these descriptors of our God. But if you were to do a Google search or a Bible software search, the number one descriptor that you find in your Bible, in our Bible, about our God is that he is a holy God. He's a holy God. Here's the thing with that, though. If we're not too careful, we have a tendency to kind of just use that as a title, just as a name tag, and we don't see it as a descriptor of who our God is. We don't see it as who he really is. And what happens is we kind of just lower the standard of our lives because we see him. We don't see him for who he is as a holy God. Yeah. But when you look in the Bible and you see how people interacted with him, and every time that they addressed him or every time that they heard the word holy in front of God's name or connected to God's name, it demanded a response. Yes. Because they saw him for who he was. In fact, here's the first time that we see this. It's in Exodus chapter 3. This is when Moses is going up to the mountain to meet with God. Think about that for a moment. He's going to the mountain to meet with God. And so when he gets to the place, it's not like there's just a piece of ground just like floating out there in nowhere land. It's connected to the whole mountain, right? But yet something happens and God speaks to Moses and he says, "Do not come near. Take off your sandals off your feet, for the place," say place, "on which you are standing is holy ground." Holy ground. We're going to see in a moment the Hebrew word for that word holy. We'll see it. I'll put it up on screen for you note takers. But the word actually means sanctified, sacred. But the big general meaning of the word holy, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is this. Look up here, everybody. It's separate or set apart. That's what he's saying, isn't it? He said, this piece of ground is set apart. It's holy. And the thing that makes the ground holy, or what makes the ground holy, is not the fact that Moses took off his sandals and exposed his stinky feet. It was that God was there. And so when you come to church, if he is who you say he is in your life, what kind of ground is this? It should change everything about us. It should change how we walk in those doors. You know, when we get ready to go meet, spend time with somebody, I'm getting ready to go to Texas tomorrow. I'm going to go spend some time, Eric and Lori, whatever, but with my grandkids. And my grandson, he loves Toy Story. So I put on my watch, look, you hit that, and they move around. Look, see? So I can just imagine that I'm going to spend a lot of time like this. But you know what? I'm preparing myself to go see. This ground is not holy if we don't prepare ourselves or expect to meet the holy God here. Let's just go listen to JR. Hopefully he's got a good joke today. You guys want to hear a joke? How many Star Trek fans do I have here? Star Trek fans? Yeah. Come on. How many of you know about Star Trek? All right. So how many ears does Captain Kirk have? Three. His right ear, his left ear, and his final frontier. First service didn't get that. I'm just saying. When you walk in the door, meanwhile, back in the spirit, when you walk in the door, if this is holy ground, if God is here, this should be holy ground. Doesn't mean that we are not people, But we understand we're here to meet God. Exodus 3:6, and he says, "And I am the God of your father." This is who he is, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. You know, I do a lot of study just while I'm out. I love studying, like at Starbucks or Satellite Coffee. You tell them I advertise for them when they get there. And you know what's amazing to me as I listen to people? I'm not eavesdropping, but I just, you know, you hear people talking. First of all, let me just say, I love seeing people in public places reading their Bible. I just love that. See people, they're doing their devotionals, and I always make comment, love what you're reading, something like that. But it's amazing to me, as I've walked this past week, I just noticed how many people were saying words like this. Well, God told me this, and God told me that, and God said this to me. And I'm going, oh my God, these people hear God better than I do. They should be preaching. Almost like if I just had a conversation with somebody else. Moses says, God just spoke. He's holy. In fact, this is what Exodus 15:11 says. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? There's nobody like our God, everybody. There's nobody. Here's the big meaning of the word holy. It means that theologians call it the otherness of God, meaning he's so other than we are. One theologian calls it the godness of God. It's what sets him apart. Isaiah talks about these statues that have eyes and can't see, have mouths and can't talk, ears and can't hear, feet and can't walk. But our God, everybody, he still talks. Amen? Leviticus 22:32, "And you shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Get that, everybody? Underline the word profane there, or make a note. That word actually means to minimize. Don't minimize. Don't make it just like an everyday article that you talk about. In other words, when you say his name, see the holiness connected to his name. Amen. Don't you just like say God this or God that. Go, hold on. I'm talking about the creator of everything. I'm talking about the one who holds everything in the palm of his hand. I'm talking about the one and only true God. Amen. Don't just make it just like an everyday thing, especially when you come to the place that's holy, that's set apart for him. Yes. Are you with me? Yes. Psalm 22, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." You see, when you understand, first of all, the place, and secondly, the power, and thirdly, the purity, it changes your praise. Because you see the holiness of God. Notice what he says. He says, "You are enthroned on the praises of the people who see the otherness of who you are." It always happens whenever it's like a constant occurrence. When we go out to eat, there's either something wrong with Sylvia's food or her chair's dirty. And if you know Sylvia, she's just like, "Oh, that's okay, honey." No. She'll always have them come and clean off the table so that she can sit down. I mean, she's wearing some nice clothes. Let me ask you something. Is the holy God ready to be enthroned on the praises of your heart? Is it a holy throne set apart for him? Amen? So, when you see the holiness of God, it changes the place. You see the power. You see the purity. It changes your praise, your words. And lastly, you give him and only him priority. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Amen. Amen. You know, I want Family Church to be a talk back church. You know, when we're teaching Gideon, we're all teaching Gideon how to talk. You know, we're telling him words to say, because before we started teaching him, he'd say these words, "Lam, lam, lam." We had no idea what he was saying. So now we're teaching him how to talk. We'll say, say this, and he'll say, love you, Dee Dee, and all that. So I know when I first started coming to church and the pastor would say, I want you to be a talkback church. I don't even know what to say. So I'm going to help you. Amen means I agree with that. Amen. Okay. Here's another thing you can say. You can say, wow. Come on. Wow. Yes. Yes. We can be bilingual. Orale. That just means you're engaging. Are you with me? Amen. There you go. I like that. Orale. There is none like the Lord. There's none beside him. Priority. The words for holy in the Hebrew, the word gadash, and in the Greek it's the word hagios, and it means separate, pure. But the big overall, you just saw it in these five scriptures references that I just gave you, is that God is set apart. He's different. And it requires for us to respond to him different. Amen? I don't think anybody said it better than David. How many of you love Psalm 23? You love Psalm 23?
Yeah.
Say, I love Psalm 23. I do too. Especially the way it starts, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't know about you, but he's my shepherd. That just makes you feel good, doesn't it? But here's the beauty of Scripture, is that it's followed by Psalm 24. Isn't that brilliant? Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and those who dwell in it. Who's he talking about? Us. Not just us, but everybody. Those who dwell in it. They all belong to God. Hallelujah. Now, there's a moment where we all got to come to the place where we accept and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God created every human you've ever seen. How many of you agree with that? Okay, some of you. Okay, look, we don't believe in evolution. God created them all. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Watch everybody. Here's what he's saying. Let me take this back here to verse 1. He's saying, God created the earth, and everybody that's in it belongs to him. When I was going to Bible school, one of my professors said, he used to always say, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. I love that statement. Because at the foot of the cross, we're all sinners, right? Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then David goes on and he says, there's an invitation that God makes. Yeah. The invitation is, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? The invitation is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Right? That's step one. Say step one. But then he goes on and he says, okay, then once you make that decision, he says, then who shall stand in his holy place?
Right.
Who shall stand in this holy place, in that ground that's holy, whether it's here at church or at home or whether it's at work and you realize and sense the presence of God speaking to you and you realize, hold on, this is a holy moment. Have you ever had those?
Yeah.
Like you're talking to a friend over a cup of coffee and you go, whoa. Here's how we say it. Oh, I just got chills, goosebumps. You know what that is? That's a holy moment. You're in holy ground. And he says, who shall stand there? Not just visit there, but who shall stand there? And he says, who shall ascend? Who shall climb? Let me tell you, anytime that we make a decision to ascend, anytime we make a decision to not live almost holy, but to do our best to live a holy life, there's always going to be, number one, you're always going to have to make a choice. Isn't that what he says? Who's going to do it? Who's choosing? Who's choosing to go further in their walk with God? Because when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you start the climb. But we listen, if we want to stay here, that's okay. That's up to us. Because once you make the decision to make Jesus your Savior and your Lord, you ain't going to hell. Did he just say hell in church? I did. Because I ain't going there. But you can stay and just say, well, I got fire insurance and I'm good. But the psalmist says, do you just want to stay there or do you want to make a choice to get closer to your God? To walk closer with your God. And every time that you do that, you have to make a choice today, tomorrow, next week, next month. It's a daily choice. But listen, every time you make a choice, there's always going to be conflict.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because there's a real devil. Say, there's a real devil.
There's a real devil.
Wow. There's a real devil. And he's coming after you. Listen, he don't like you. That's right, Pat said, I don't like him either. There's a real devil, and he is, we're going to see in a moment, he's prowling, looking for someone to devour. And you know what? You want to know when you get his attention? You get his attention when you make the decision, I'm moving closer to God. No, no, no. He said, why do you say that? He never changes his tactics. In the garden, what did he say to Eve? Did God really say that? Come on. So you make the choice, you're going to go into conflict with the devil. Number two, you're going to go into conflict with yourself. Your flesh is going to go, I know, but I like sin. You know, kind of like that movie, Over the Hedge, but I like the cookie. Yeah. I like the sin. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. Yeah? And you have to make a commitment to keep climbing, to keep ascending. He says, who shall ascend? And then he says, he who has clean hands. This is the person who's making this climb. The person who has clean hands. The person who has a pure heart. The person who does not lift up the soul to what is false. And does not swear deceitfully. Look, circle verse 4 and write these words down. A lifestyle of holiness. That's what that is. That means every day you're choosing to go, you know what? I'm going to do my best to live a life with clean hands. Meaning, I know that I sin. Did you guys know that your pastor sins?
Yeah.
Okay, I do. And so do you. So what do? We confess our sins.
Yeah.
And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. If we refuse to confess our sins, you know what we do? We stay right here.
Right.
Number two, he says, has a pure heart. That means there's no manipulation, no motives. You're not trying to get things to go your way. You're just trying to get them to go one way, God's way. Yeah.
Amen.
Does not lift up his soul to what is false. In other words, you just don't like to listen to lies.
Mm-hmm.
Lift up his soul. Come on, everybody. Gossip is juicy. Yeah, I mean, you don't listen to boring gossip, right? Hey, you guys want to know something? Pastor Matt has his shoes untied. No, no, no. We don't like that. We like to lift up our soul to that which is false. And then lastly, does not swear deceitfully. Meaning, I know this isn't true, but I need you on my side. The people who don't do that, let me tell you what they live. They live a lifestyle. Say lifestyle. A lifestyle of holiness.
Yes.
What does a lifestyle of holiness produce for us? Here, what he says, she will receive a blessing from the Lord. When you come up here, when you make the climb, you'll receive a blessing from the Lord.
Yes.
A blessing from God. And guess what, everybody? He gets to choose what that blessing is.
Amen.
And when we get that blessing and how we get that blessing.
Right.
But when you choose to climb, to ascend, you will get the blessing from the Lord. Let me tell you where it's waiting for you. It ain't down here. It's waiting for you up here. Well, when is God going to do this for me? When is God? Let me show you what it's like. Pastor Matt, come on over here. So Pastor Matt, I know this by his life. He's saved. He's a Christ follower. But see, he's waiting for a blessing. He's been praying and asking God, Lord, help me with this. God, just help me with this. I'm dealing with this. And God's looking over here and he's going, mm-hmm. But I thought you had it. I do. But there's some work you got to do because your hands are not clean. Your heart is not pure. Your words are not true. And your motives are bad. And as soon as you do that, you will begin to receive the blessing from the Lord. You'll begin that climb.
All right.
It's not that God is going, I don't have this for you. God is going, I have this for you. But what I need to have is you.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Matt. So he says, such is the, he goes, and righteousness from the God of salvation, with unhighlighted letter N. I just beat you to the punch. You know you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus if you're a Christ follower, right? But here's what happens is when we sin, how many of you know you don't feel very righteous?
Yep.
But when you confess your sins, he is faithful and to make you back in right standing, and you feel, I'm right now because I'm forgiven. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. He's saying it's a lifestyle. It's not a moment. It's not a decision you make only when you're at church or only when you get busted. It's a lifestyle. It's a generational thing. You live this lifestyle of holiness. And I love that on purpose, God chose to say that they seek him. They seek the face of the God of Jacob. He's the God of promise. It doesn't matter what comes your way. If you live a life that's pursuing holiness, God is going to fulfill his promises in your life. Wow. Here's what Peter says. Peter, of all the people, in my Bible, I use the ESV Bible. This scripture right here, it's got the heading. The heading on this says, it says, called to be holy. That's the heading on that. Of all people, God chose Peter to write that. He went from cutting people's ears off to calling people to holiness. That happens when you climb the hill of God. He says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We'll unpack this scripture in a moment. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Three principles about living a lifestyle of holiness that Peter gives us in these verses right here. Number one, principle number one, a lifestyle of holiness starts with a focus on eternity. That's where it starts. It starts with the focus on eternity. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at the bottom. He says that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, revelation, it's an ongoing revelation. In other words, the more that you pursue Jesus, the more that you pursue holiness, because he himself is the Holy One of Israel.
Amen?
Amen? And so it starts with a focus on eternity. We are not here forever. I had another writer in my car this past week, 31-year-old guy. He writes for Christianity Today, and he also writes for Leadership Journal. He's 31, and so I asked him a question on purpose because I just wanted to know his thoughts. I said, you're a millennial, right? He goes, by age. Like, he felt offended that I called him a millennial. And I said, hold on. I said, listen, the reason I'm asking is, as a boomer, I just want to know, how can I help? What's the best way for me to help millennials? He goes, oh, that's easy. Help them to see past today.
Yeah.
Now listen, before you boomers and busters start celebrating that, guess who taught them that? You see, we live in a world now where all we think about is today. What I want, when I want it. We think that everything is all right here, and this is what it's going to, at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to matter is the decisions I make right now and the things that I have in my hands right now. Listen, if you're a Christ follower, you're just passing through here. This is not your home. And your perspective on living a lifestyle of holiness changes when you think about eternity. Think about this. One day, every single one of us are going to stand in the presence of God, and we're going to give an account for every word that we said and everything that we did.
Yeah.
Wow. God have mercy.
Yeah.
We're going to give an account for all of that. In fact, Paul writes and he says the works that we do in the presence of Jesus, they're either going to burn up or they're going to be refined and become better. And the difference is, are we living with eternity in mind, thinking I'm not here forever? So how do we do that? Peter gives us three things that we do to live with eternity in mind. First of all, he says, preparing your minds for action. It starts with your mind. In some translation, it says, gird up your mind. It's a phrasing that was used of athletes back then when they wore these garments that were long and loose. And what they would do is they would gather those things up and then they would tuck them in so they could be able to run and not trip. That's what we have to do, because if we don't gather our minds, then the world is going to say, no, this is what you need. You want to be an amazing person? You need to have this car. No. You want to have an amazing life? You need to drink this beer. And by the way, drink responsibly, my friends. Really? Listen. Sylvia and I were in San Marcos many, many, many years ago, and we were ministering to some college students. And there was this one college girl there she was just struggling. And she was telling our host, Lori, I just can't do this. It's just struggling. My mind, I just can't control my mind. And she goes, honey, I'm going to help you. I have the secret weapon for you to control those thoughts in your life. She goes, oh, please tell me what it is. She goes, you ready for it? She goes, here it is. Ready? Repeat after me. No. All you got to do is just say no. It starts with your mind, right? In fact, here's what he says. He says, be sober-minded. Make a choice. Secondly, he says, set your hope on the grace that will be brought to you. Because here's the thing is that there's also, you have to be spiritually aware. Number one, you have to be sober. It starts with the mind. Number two, you have to be spiritually aware. There's some things that are going on around you that are not flesh. They're spiritual.
Right?
The Bible says that the devil is watching your adversary and he prowls around like a lion seeking someone to devour.
Yeah.
And then lastly, have your hope on grace.
Amen.
Listen, put your hope fully on the grace of God. That will help you, absolutely help you to live with eternity in mind. Number two, a lifestyle of holiness is habitually obedient.
Yeah.
Habitually obedient. Notice what he says, as obedient children.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not habitually obedient.
Right.
You understand that, right? We're just all born with that disobedient bone in us. When Gideon, before he was born, Sylvia took a text. I can't remember what it was, but it's about Samuel, where it says, for this child we prayed and God answered. She put it on this really nice canvas that she painted for Gideon. Well, now he has it memorized. And so he'll say it, for this child I prayed and God answered. So the other day I was talking to him, we were FaceTiming, and I was going to tell him that just four more sleeps and Dee Dee would be there. And so I said, Gideon, say four. He goes, no four, no this, no child, no prayed. I wasn't going there. But isn't it interesting how we're just born with that disobedient thing? So that's what he says. We have to habitually make it a habit that I'm going to become more and more obedient.
Right.
To look like Jesus.
Yeah.
How many of you have ever done this when your kids are disobedient? You tell your wife, your kid. But when doing amazing, my son. Here's my question. When people see you, do they know who your father is?
Good.
Oh, at church, yeah. What about at work? What about your workmates? What about at school? Do your classmates know? I mean, the guy that you couldn't see him because he was in the dark today, but he normally plays the bass, my son, John Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no question who that boy's daddy is. Do people know who your father is?
Right.
As obedient children. Yeah, he says, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance. Let me say it to you this way. Don't write this down, because if you repeat it, we'll have issues. You have to break up with Junior Reese. Before I came to faith, that's how I was called, Junior Reese. Now I'm JR. I came to faith in Christ at 24. That guy was selfish, self-centered, self-focused, and all he wanted to do was just have a good time. Alcohol, drugs, I mean, you name it, that guy did it. You know what you got to do? Is you got to break up with that guy and never go and ask him for his opinion. What do you think, Junior? That just sounds bad. Just saying Junior just sounds bad. What do you think, old you? No, listen. Former, say it with me,
former.
Ignorance. That dude was a fool. He didn't know what he was doing. Yet here's what we do is we rely on our old way of doing things. And what we need to do is we need to move forward and go, no, what does God want me to do? How does God want me to live? How am I supposed to habitually obey God? Not what I want, but what does God want? Here's what Paul says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, what is holy. See, if you don't break up with that guy, then you're never going to become start climbing and be standing in that place. Amen? Wow. Number three. A lifestyle of holiness is a life that is in pursuit of holiness. It's in pursuit of holiness. But as he who called you is holy, hallelujah, you also be holy. I love what Peter does in your conduct. Because we'll go, man, I could never be God. And you probably should be grateful. And you will never be God, which I'm grateful. But he says, in your conduct. Let me say it to you this way. Behave like Jesus is watching. Because he is. And he says, be holy. Didn't say try. Come on, great Yoda quote. Right? There is no try, there is but do. You know, when we would travel and we'd take the kids and put them in the back seat, and they were making a bunch of racket back there. I didn't tell them, hey, would you guys try to behave? I'd say, behave. And if they didn't, the right hand of fellowship would make its way to the back seat. I didn't care who I hit. I was hitting somebody. It was not a democracy. We live in a theocracy. Our God is our God. And he says to us, don't try to be holy. He says, be holy in your conduct and how you behave yourself in the things that you do. Be totally separate from everybody else. Live an otherless life. Yes. Wow. I'm trying to help you. James chapter 3 from the Passion Translation. We all fail in many areas, but especially with our words. Yet if we are able to bridle the words we say, we are powerful enough to control ourselves in every way. And that means our character is mature and fully developed. You ever know how you live life just consistently, habitually developing holiness? It starts right here. It starts right here. It starts with your words. Say it with me. No. Just say no. I found this in one of the Bible dictionaries. Holiness is in the highest sense is belonging to God, consecrated to his service, and conformed in all things to the will of God. Personal holiness is a work of gradual development. It is carried on under many hindrances, hence the frequent admonitions to watchfulness, prayer, and perseverance. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a constant decision. To be. Today, I will be different. I will live separated for God. I will be a separated husband. I will be a separated wife. I will be a separate employee. I'm going to do things different because I am an obedient child of God. James 4:8, move your heart closer to God and he will come closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners. And keep your heart pure and stop doubting. Pastor Matt, come on over here. So this is what it looks like. Here's born again Matt. He's been there for a while, camping out. He's been asking God, would you help me? Lord, would you do this for me? God, I thought you said, I thought God said, I thought God does, I thought God this, God that. God said, yeah, absolutely. I am a loving God. I am a generous God. I'm all those things. You want to come close to me? Then cleanse your hands. Cleanse your heart. The moment that you do that, oh, look, I'm coming close to you. You want to come close to me? And all of a sudden, what I have is in my hand is a lot closer than what it was. I love that the Bible says, you sinners.
Yeah.
When I read that, I don't read condemnation in that. I read, I'm not God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get to decide what and when. I just get to decide for me.
Right.
For me, I will repent. Thank you, Pastor Matt. Let me tell you what repentance is not. Repentance is not an emotion. Repentance is a choice. It's a daily decision. It's a daily decision. Back to Psalm 24. He says, lift up your heads, O gates. Now he took us through this whole thing of coming to the mountain, having clean hands, pure hearts, a soul that not people that don't lie, a soul that doesn't swear deceitfully. And then he says, when you get there, then you can lift up your heads, because our God is a miracle working God, everybody. You know that, right? He, everything that we have, he has, that we need, he has. It's right there with him. But we need to get our hearts right. We need to live a holy life. We need to be on constant pursuit of God. And then he says, then you can lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. God is for you. My question is, are you for you? Am I for me? When, God? Yeah, God is going, when? Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And then he says, Selah. Rest in that. There really isn't a whole lot of work to do, everybody. Jesus did all the work on the cross. He took our sin, our sickness, our shame. He took it all. There's really not a whole lot of work to do. All we need to do is choose every day to live a lifestyle of holiness.
Amen.
Listen. God does not demand perfection from you and me, but he deserves a pursuit. A pursuit of him. Because when we pursue holiness, we're pursuing him. And the more you know him, the more you know holiness. The less you know him, the less you know holiness. Then we start to lower the bar. Oh, this is what holiness means to me. What does he say holiness is? And the number one blessing of holiness is to stand in his presence. In the presence of the one who still works wonders. The one who still does miracles in our lives. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for being unchanging. God, you're unchanging to a often changing people. But God, when we repent, when we choose to climb, when we choose to be holy like you're holy, because you are unchanging, God, you're always forgiving and you're always rushing to us, God. And even when we are prodigals, Lord, you're like that father in the story Jesus told. You're waiting for us, God. You're waiting for us, Lord. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, what's going on in your walk with God? If you just settled and just are there, can I just tell you, just repent. Just ask God to forgive you and make a choice. Today I choose. Today I choose to be holy, to be separated, to be separate, to be different. Today I choose to be a different husband, a different wife. Tomorrow I choose to be a different employee, a different dad, a different mom, a different son, a different daughter, a different brother. Today I choose. I choose. I chose to be holy like the one who called me is holy.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand? Let's worship him for a moment.